It's Tuesday. It's 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane. We're glad to be here with you. If you're just joining us, why don't I take a second before we get started and hit that subscribe button. Don't hit the one that's on the screen because that's just a graphic. You got to go to the lower right-hand corner down below the video. And we promise you good things will happen to you. That if you subscribe, the people at YouTube, they get physically aroused when you do that. And when you ring the notification bell and like us, they really get aroused. Yeah, there you go. And if you like support us monetarily, and why would you not? There are some costs involved in putting these shows on. So we hope you would go over and take a look at the perks we give you for doing that. And there's a description in the below, in the description below. Link, I should say. And if you like to make podcasts like this, we do it with StreamYard, and there's also a link to a free version below that you can try it out and see if you want to be a YouTube podcaster or Facebook Live or Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Instagram, and also we're on Twitter and Facebook, of course. And also we want to remind you that both of us write compelling articles on all sorts of things. And we write over on medium.com. There's a link to our articles in the description below. So you'll want to check those out, of course. And today's topic is is the American dream of home ownership dead? And boy, I don't know, Shane, interest rates going up, going to be harder to borrow money. Going to be tougher to own a home. What do you think?
Well, the astounding reality is that the Fed doesn't care about home ownership. They don't care about the market. What they're concerned about is your debt. And so when you look at the 62-year historical chart, I mean, my goodness, in 2022, you know, the Fed rate started off at 0.82. And now where it's at, you know, it's basically looking like a percentage change of 3,228% increase. I mean, that's just crazy because, you know, they're at 2.5 to 2.5, 2.25 to 2.5. And, you know, in September, they'll raise it by, 75 basis points. They'll raise it to 3% of the Fed rate. There's no question. In the market is in the tells in the market are terrible because of what the Fed chairman said last Friday, because now you have investors having to decide, it's inflation versus investment. And with a household mortgage, making basically a remarkable cost increase. I mean, it's overwhelming to people, you know, that own a home right now. So buying a home is even more difficult.
Yeah, it is. Federal Reserve raised their rate 75 basis points. Basis points, 100th of a point. So 100 basis points is 1 point, 1 point of interest, I should say. So during its meeting, they just finished in Jackson Hole. That's the largest increase since 2019. And as Shane rightly pointed out, they are expected to raise rates at least one or possibly two times more before the end of the year. So it's kind of scary. It's a little scary out there for those folks who maybe are just entering the market. Maybe they've saved a down payment, but all of a sudden they're going to get hit with a higher mortgage, monthly mortgage. So a lot of people, I think, Shane, may be rethinking what's going on. There's the increase. You can see how dramatic that increase was because during the pandemic, we were at near zero interest rates.
That's right.
And And then a number of people occupying homes, owner-occupied homes, 83 million number of housing units occupied by renters, 44 million, and the U.S. home ownership rate at 65%. And that's been going up and down recently, Shane, and I can do it. I don't like to give presidents credit for this, but I'm going to use them just as a timeline so that you understand that rates went up or homeownership went up pretty good during Clinton, down during Bush and Obama, and then back up during Trump. But we also had Volcker, Greenspan, Bernanke, Yellen, and now we've got Jerome Powell in there. And of course, same thing's happening with renters. Renters are going up right and left housing prices go up. Of course, rents go up as well. So
yeah, and at 65%, you know, it's the largest percentage of homeownership of any country in the world. But
yeah,
you know, home prices, you know, between 100,000 to 250 fell, were, you know, 31% lower from a year ago, and prices of homes between 750 and a million are down 8%. Sales of home prices above a million fell 13% from a year ago. Uh-huh. So the market's basically telling you that, you know, the housing industry is, it's in a recession. I mean, the market will recognize sectors in a recession, but they won't admit that the U.S. is a recession.
Right, that we're in one.
You know, we called the high in the market November, December. I claim that the United States has been in a recession since February, and I've been looking for tells. And with that Friday comment by the Fed, you know, there's going to be a lot of pain and heartache for years to come. That and the market response to what he said on Monday, which was really bad, because now probably for the, you know, August, the market will be down overall. It's showing itself that way today. So I think this is the end of the beginning of the recession that started in February. So now we are in the middle of a recession, which we'll know how bad and how long it is for, you know, within the next 3 months and certainly before the end of the year.
Yeah,
I suspect it'll be till, you know, the presidential election. It'll be at least 2022. This is going to be bad. This is not a V recovery recession. It's an L recovery, and the bottom bar is really long. It's going to be a long recovery to this recession.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's we saw the market drop 1,000 points. You know, quite a bit. Decline there, and with interest rates going up, that's going to make money more expensive across the board for everybody, whether you're buying a home or whether you're starting a business.
That's
or
right.
You know, if you go down to the bank and want some money, they're gonna, you know, your payback's gonna be is gonna be 2 or 3% higher than it was pre-pandemic. Yeah, it's. I agree with you, Shane. I think we're in for some tough sledding here through the summer, and getting into the last quarter in October, we'll kind of see where we are. Usually, an election year kind of props things up. You know, people get more positive, and people start showing more positive messages out there to get elected. But now, man, it's gloom and doom everywhere you look.
Yeah, February historically used to be the worst month of the year after, you know, Christmas spending and everything. Yeah. You know, the marginal stocks that respond to anticipation of Christmas, you know, they go up in the fall and winter before Christmas, and then they drop afterwards. Yeah. And, you know, it was a rich cycle for the investors and traders in the market. But now what you're faced with today is, as I said, it's a inflation versus in investment situation, and a part of that is it's twofold. It's really three things. Global sovereign debt is horrific. You know, it's over $78 trillion. Then you have the U.S. dollar is the strongest, which is what the Fed is doing, raising rates, making it the strongest currency. The euro is at, you know, just over a dollar. You know, just par with the U.S. dollar. It was at 99 cents. It was below par. And the pound sterling, which has always been less than sturdy. I mean, it's just been the strongest currency next to the U.S. You know, it's basically down from 128, 130 to 116. So you look at other currencies, Canadian currency is holding on. It's still 130 to the U.S. dollar, which is really, really positive. The third largest economy in the world is Japan, and their currency is at 138 from 115. Why do I mention these numbers? Well, because, you know, the largest debt equity market in the world is global sovereign debt and corporate debt. And you hear every day these corporations raising still billions of dollars in the market in the U.S. We're now in the cycle from where stocks have been cheap since last, or not cheap, but discounted since last November. Now we're in this middle cycle of a recession. Now they're going to get cheaper mm-hmm. and cheaper. There's going to be a lot more devastation out there than we've seen already. The Dow's got down again today to 253 to 31,000, under 32 again. Standard & Poor's 500 under 4,000 again. And NASDAQ, you know, is just hovering around 12,000. So global markets are in a tailspin. Europe's in a mess. Between the price of gas and the fires they've had this year and the failure of crops and around the world, not just in Europe, but around the world, you know, they keep misdirecting the news cycle about crops around the world with, you know, what's going on in Ukraine and delivering wheat. But that's not really the problem. You have countries all over the world that were basically, you know, self-serving and feeding their people, and now they can't do that. The commodity market really hasn't reflected it. I mean, crude oil is back and forth, you know, around $100. Trying to decide use, you know, is the global demand going to drop? Well, if the economy slows, of course it'll drop, but that's not going to help inflation. Inflation will continue to run because raising in the Fed rate, or banks, you know, you know, banks like the Fed or the Bank of England or Bank of Japan raising interest rates, it isn't about fighting inflation, it's about debt. So we'll see where it all winds up, but it's going to be a tough September. You know, there have been occasions where we've seen major collapses of global markets as well as the American markets. Of course.
Well, you're seeing three big holidays on the way: Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. All are going to be more expensive because of inflation and whatever. The other thing you're talking about, Shane, over in Europe, natural gas has gone off the charts. You know, I mean, the price of that. And Russia has threatened to cut off Europe with oil and natural gas and everything else for helping out in Ukraine. So they may have rolling blackouts of heat during the winter. So it's not going to be fun over there, and it may not be fun here with the price of, you know, because we're going to have to heat our homes, and particularly in the northeast. They always have an issue with heating oil and natural gas taking over more and more in that area. But it's going to be tough on these folks with these higher prices on all these commodities. Just in our area here, the Northwestern Energy, they've asked for a rate increase here on gas and oil both.
The major contributing factors to our concern right now is winter, of course, on its way. So in North America, heating oil in the Northeast is the primary, you know, form to heat people's homes. It's up 75% to 237 to 375. And natural gas producing 32% of the electricity in the U.S. But in Europe, like in Germany, you're looking at a German family spending $1,000 a month to heat their home this winter. The euros, you know, as I've just said, is part of the U.S. dollar. I can't imagine a family of four in a home in America spending $1,000 a month to heat their home. That's just staggering.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, that's what they're predicting anyway over there. That's why it's imperative for us to be energy independent, where we don't have to depend on these other countries. But of course, we know. We know where we are on that deal.
Oh, that's right. And, you know, it's, you know, we're concerned about 12 to 15% interest. I mean, inflation rate here in North America, in our countries. But, you know, between 87 and 2001, the average inflation rate in China was about 5% a year, still far beyond ours. You know, the our federal banks, the Bank of Canada, Bank of the, and the Fed have always tried to keep it around 2%. But you know, in the same period, the inflation rate has gone up 396%. So the cost of $100 won product in 87 is now $496. I mean, that's worse than Venezuela. So
we're,
you know,
we're going after them pretty heavy.
That's right. This whole issue about you know, global GDP is going to literally explode here, because China's going to go into a depression. They're a capitalist society. You know, they have been now for 50 years, or the better part of 50 years. They've never had a depression, because, you know, the U.S. is, you know, on average had one every 50 years. So you've had a period of experience of how to deal with it. It's not a good thing.
No.
But, you know, you got to keep everything moving, turning, running, you know, and even though someone throws a wrench into it, you still have to come out of it. The thing about China is, you know, you've got this 400 million people, middle class of 1.3 trillion or 3 billion people, 1.4 billion people. You know, they're going to be in the streets. They're not afraid to demonstrate. I mean,
no,
they may have a, you know, the People's Liberation Army may be 4 million strong, but it's a police force. It's not an army. We'll see where all that goes, but we're going to have lots to talk about on our podcast, and a lot of interesting topics, and keep following up on this one, because when you look at the cost of an interest rate on a $400,000 home right now in the last, 9 months since February, it's gone up like 76%. I mean, that's staggering.
Well, that's what I say. Is home ownership dead? I think it is for a while, at least for the bottom feeding folks, it is. You know, the upper crust can certainly afford a few extra points of interest without hurting their bottom line any.
And the sad thing, there's a lot of articles, by the media, in the last 2 months about housing shortage and, rental occupancy everywhere in your country, mine is like at 98%, and the price will be going up because of inflation of rent. But, you know, in the context of a market, at least the North American, building market is managed better. I mean, China's, 20 cities, 87 million condos and apartments that are 20 to 30 years old. They're writing stories and bragging about having to tear them down. I mean, the entire city they built that never was occupied for 20 minutes.
So you think we
have difficulties? The numbers are staggering. I mean,
They're the poster child for poverty.
And the thing that upsets me the most is that these people that you have to listen to, because that's all that there is on these networks and cable, about finance and everything, they keep implying that this sector is better than that, you want to invest, and when is it time to jump in? It isn't, because I still see Apple down another 50 to 70%, Amazon, Facebook too. I see them all less than $100 easy in the next 6 months, which means that'll scare the poop out of everyone, because banks will start liquidating and investment funds and everything. Because I mean, like Apple, the iPhone is it's 55% of their revenue. So you saw what happened to Peloton, because they saturated the market during COVID with people buying their machine, and it's all but gone bang. I mean, if they hadn't have got their deal, with Amazon, they probably wouldn't find. They're not even manufacturing their units anymore. They're closing stores. They're keeping their exercise stores open, because people do,
Because they're a subscription. Yeah, they subscribe to them.
And then the subscribers, service. They do it at home. But there's case after case of Tells.
Oh, yeah.
give you a clear indication of where this is all going. And cash flow is now apparently more important than earnings per share.
Yeah.
Well, that's what caused it. As you know, I call this the earnings per share, meltdown or crash. Basically, the networks and people out there, they didn't warn anyone to sell anything at the high. They had a whole year last year to tell people, sell 50%, go to cash, whatever. I mean, it's a very difficult situation for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, we've still got high gas prices. We've still got supply chain problems. Turkeys for Thanksgiving. We reported a previous podcast about the bird flu, millions of turkeys being killed, millions of chickens being killed all over the country. The numbers were staggering. I'm surprised there's any chickens or turkeys left at all.
That's right. But, Tyson, it's the largest chicken producer in your country. Announced yesterday that China has now restricted the export of their chicken to China for some bogus reason. Well, it's just a bogus reason. They want to create more inflation with regards to the U.S. Americans still pay, Americans still pay less than the rest of the world for chicken, pork, and beef.
Yeah.
But it's still up, 12 to 15% from the beginning of the
year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also, too, with the supply chain situation, you got Christmas coming up as well. Halloween, everything for Halloween's made offshore,
Well, that's right.
It's a big payday. Halloween's a big day, it always has been.
It's a $6 billion holiday, for people. Yeah. Of course, going into Thanksgiving, Fridays, matter.
Black Fridays matter.
Fridays do matter. Mm-hmm. we tried to pen that to go viral, 4 years ago? It's still good. It's a good reference.
Still a good reference.
I don't think you'll... I shouldn't keep saying, you should beat me up about that.
Okay.
Black Friday does matter because of the reference to the rest of the next 2 months and how things will fare. We're always surprised by how soon, we're always surprised by how soon the major retailers bring out their Christmas wear. I would imagine before the end of September. It won't be November.
It's July 4th. Get your Christmas lights.
Or October for sure. But we'll see.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, well, we just had back to school. I was at Walmart the other day, and there was a young couple in front of me with their kids, and they're buying notebooks and paper and pencils and markers and all kinds of stuff, so that's a big day as well. Back to school.
Well, yeah, back to school always is.
Yeah, sure.
As we pointed out, the sales year to year during COVID, of course, it was shut down, but schooling, the school sales were down, and they were anticipating a big move in that area. It was up substantially. Backpacks are more expensive, and every kid in America gets a new backpack every year. I don't know what they do with the other ones. I guess they give them away.
I don't know, but
I have a backpack I've had for 20 years. I haven't replaced it.
Yeah, well, I think as you grow, you need to get a bigger one. I don't know, something to do with your shoulders or whatever.
You don't have a choice when the zippers go, but otherwise, it's good to go.
There you go. That's good. Well, we'll certainly see how this plays out, because it's going to be a tough last 4 months of the year here as we move into September. And
because there's no expendable income. We're being told by everyone from the president, his spokesman, the vice president, everybody else that Americans are doing, they're doing great, and the consumer product index is. Oh, it's a bit stronger. It was down, but now it's up a bit. Mm-hmm. These things are no longer of importance to what we're talking about, because they talk about the global market, the global economy on one side, and they flip the coin, and then they talk about these tiny little things like consumer price. It's what's going on globally that you have to look at first to realize how deep we are into a trench. And because it's not a hole, it's a trench. I mean, yeah. Everyone's digging a trench. So there you go. And this one's, you know how deep you can dig a trench.
Yeah.
That's... You may not get to China, but you can surely bury yourself.
That's for sure. You'll certainly run into someone speaking Mandarin before very long.
That's right. So, at some
point. Yeah. So, we're going to stay on top of it, obviously, for the next 4 months. And, of course, we want to keep you all informed of what's going on. I need to remind everybody, the award-winning Tom and Shane are live on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. You don't have to join anything. Don't have to sign up for anything. No personal information needed. You just need to show up and enjoy the show. And my dog's even like it.
You know, throw your name and phone number. Huh?
What's that?
I said, if there's a woman out there that's rich, beautiful, and my age, throw your number up there. I want some personal information.
There you go. All right. And our past shows, of course, are at KMMSAM.com, including this one will be up shortly. So if you missed any of our past podcasts or any of our radio shows, they are up. We're approaching 10,000 downloads of our shows. So we're kind of happy about that, of course. So we really appreciate everybody out there very much for helping us out in that regard. And, I think that's going to wrap it up, Shane. I think we've pretty well covered all this. So we will we'll get out of here. And next podcast will be Thursday. We're going to talk about flying taxis, I think.
The world's about to change. And don't buy an electric car. Don't go there. You got to see the show on Thursday, baby. The world is finally going to change by ingenuity and man's adapting, and we'll finally have a way to get planes, trains, and automobiles either gone or no longer using oil or gas, which is a good thing, but not for the reasons that the global warming thing. It's just purely economics, baby, and technology. Oh, and that rocket's going to go up Friday, which is great. America will be back to the moon. Yeah. I'm all excited to see this sucker. It's bigger than the Saturn V. And, boy, I saw that go off once in Florida.
Yeah.
Whoa! That, and I also had the opportunity, to see that big bird fly from Florida once. And that was pretty phenomenal. Amazing stuff. Yeah. It's still happening because we're the best country clubs in the world, baby.
There you go. I'm preaching the choir, man. Preaching the choir. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks, everybody. Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. Thanks for watching. Hey, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified no matter what time zone you're in, when we're on again. And like us. Leave a comment because Facebook and the Twitter and YouTube and everybody like that a lot. So, all right. My dog says goodbye. And I'm saying goodbye, and we will see you on the next podcast. Thanks for watching.